Chicago, mostly cloudy skies, 68 degrees. Peoria reporting clear skies and 70. Some rain reported in Illinois, in Lawrenceville and in Olney, also in Robinson, Illinois. And a few clouds reported in Waukegan, where it's 67 degrees. In Indiana, Indianapolis reporting mostly cloudy skies, 63 degrees. In South Bend, a few clouds at 67 there, mostly cloudy, 67 in Terre Haute. At Weathered Airport in Champaign, skies are clear at 73 degrees, the dew point 40, winds out of the northwest at 10 miles per hour, the humidity 30%, and the barometric pressure 29.95 inches and steady. In Outsider Studios, 72 degrees.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from Christie Clinic, offering convenient care to treat life's unexpected, non-emergency conditions. Christie Clinic convenient cares are located in Champaign, Urbana, and Danville with weekend and extended hours. More information is at ChristieClinic.com.
And now, part four of our week-long series on the 1960s counterculture in Champaign-Urbana. It's produced by students from University Laboratory High School in Urbana in partnership with WILL. Today's segment deals with reaction to the death of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It's produced by Uni High School student Mary Campbell and voiced by Linus Urbach.
One of the most renowned leaders of the civil rights movement was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. His assassination on April 4, 1968, caused already present tensions across the country to come to a boiling point. Clarence Shelley remembers the nation's reaction.
This was a time when the country was in all kinds of turmoil. It was the death of Martin Luther King and the Vietnam War and deaths of Kennedy, and there was just so much stuff going on. I can see now that it would not take much to set that sort of thing off.
King's death triggered violence and large riots, sometimes even effectively shutting down cities. Catherine Gorski can still vividly recall the night Dr. King was assassinated.
I learned on the train because the train would not stop in Homewood, Flossmoor area, because that was on the south side of Chicago and the riots had already started. And so we went into Chicago and I happened to be with a friend, one of the few times I was with a friend while I was traveling, and her father came to meet her, and he asked me where I was going. I says, well, I'll just take a cab across town and get to Union Station. He says, well, there are no cabs. There are no buses. There's no way for you to get across town except for to walk. And it was several miles, and I remember the look on his face. It was like, oh, I'm responsible for this girl, and I don't want to be responsible. I just want to get out of here. And so he put me in his car and with his daughter, and he drove me across town, and I opened the back door, got out, slammed it. He took off immediately, and I looked up, and it was the wrong train station. It was Northwestern Station and not Union Station. And by that time, I was starting to see smoke billow in the sky, and I knew that things were getting a little bit more serious. I walked on to Union Station, and later on that night, the train pulled out of Union Station. The whole south side was in flames, so you could see the flames. And it was a very impressive sight to make you think that you were really in the midst of something very historical.
Clarence Shelley says King's death not only triggered riots, but also created uncertainty and fear among the African-American community.
The fear was not knowing what was going to happen next, who was going to be in charge, who would be the next person to get shot.
Has anybody here seen my old friend Martin?
That report was produced by University Laboratory High School reporter Mary Campbell and voiced by sophomore Linus Urbach. Listen tomorrow for our final weekday installment of Beyond the Tie-Dye, Counterculture in Champaign-Urbana, 1965-75. And you can hear more of the story when WILL airs Beyond the Tie-Dye, our one-hour documentary, Saturday at 6 p.m. on WILL AM 580 and streamed on will.illinois.edu. Some Illinois voters get a rare opportunity in this fall's election. They can vote for a candidate who is facing corruption charges and has been kicked out of office, or his opponent, who created a new third party. Tony Arnold reports on how both candidates are selling themselves to voters.
If you're a candidate who has been arrested and kicked out of office, how exactly do you get elected? Ask this guy.
I'm Derek Smith, running for the state representative of the 10th District.
That's Derek Smith, the former state representative who used to have that seat until he was accused of taking a $7,000 bribe and then became the first representative in Springfield to be kicked out of office in more than 100 years. But that was after he had already won the Democratic primary. Smith is fighting the charges in court and in the meantime trying to win back his seat.
Well, we're just talking to the constituents and explaining to them that I am a Democrat. I'm still in the race and I'm the only Democrat in this. I'm the Democratic candidate in this particular race.
Has your strategy for winning this race changed at all over the months?
No, it has not.
That's because, in case you didn't notice, being a Democrat goes a long way in the 10th State House District. And that's the problem for Chicago attorney Lance Tyson. He was picked by Democratic leaders in the district to run against Smith, but he can't run as a Democrat since Smith won the primary. So Tyson's telling voters, most of whom are Democrats, to still vote Democrat in the race, but not for the guy who's labeled as a Democrat on the ballot. Got it? Maybe I'll let Tyson explain.
The Democratic Party had to create a brand new party called the Unity Party in opposition to Derek Smith.
Tyson repeated that message again and again over the weekend. I followed him around the 10th District for a few hours, from Garfield Park on the west side to Lincoln Park on the north side, where he met Katie Kniff.
The Unity Party sounds a little bit made up.
Kniff also told Tyson that to be a real contender, his flyers need to be made with better quality paper. Tyson took the criticism in stride, and down the block, he ran into David Kent, playing with his young daughter at a playground.
Why should I vote for you instead of the Republican?
Well, because there won't be a Republican on the ballot. It'll just be Derek Smith.
The guy that's going to go to jail.
Kent may think the choice is obvious, but a recent poll, first reported in the publication The Capital Facts, shows Smith with a 38-point lead over Tyson. But that leaves several undecideds also. Tyson says 80% of his job on the campaign trail has been explaining to residents the circumstances of how he got on the ballot and what the state representative even does. On the west side, Roberta Wilson pulled him aside because she wants the state to bring back free public transit rides for seniors.
I take 3 buses to my church.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, 85 cents, 3 buses. Boom, 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 boom. You know, that's a lot of money.
Tyson told her he would work to bring back those controversial free rides until she interrupted him again.
But I gotta have that public transportation, and I want to be free when I take it. I don't want to wait on my son. I don't wait on my daughter. I don't wait on my brother-in-law. I want to go when I want to go.
Later, while knocking on doors in Garfield Park, Tyson was stopped by Tanya Richardson, who shouted at him from halfway down the block.
How you doing, Lance Tyson?
Richardson started the conversation berating Tyson over a recent hit and run in the neighborhood.
Okay, what happened?
The little girl, nothing but 11, 12 years old, she got hit by a car.
Okay. Did the police come out?
I don't think so. Nobody never comes out about nothing.
And it wasn't long before she had moved on to other issues.
What you want to be?
I'm running for state representative.
State representative. Get our kids back in school. Make it for so felonies can get jobs. If people turn down felonies, these women can't get jobs. So
Richardson seemed skeptical of Tyson at first.
You're not just saying all this so you can get up into the office, are you?
Here's the deal.
People say a lot of things just to get up into the office.
But after spending 10 minutes with Richardson and then explaining why he's running as a Unity Party candidate, Tyson eventually gets a high five out of Richardson. Then it was Tyson's turn to berate Richardson to make sure she's registered to vote. Then Tyson was on to the next house. The message of the day, telling voters their choice is between, quote, somebody that needs a lawyer versus somebody that is a lawyer. He says that's something Republicans, independents, and Democrats can get behind. I'm Tony Arnold.
And a quick clarification for you. During our newscast, I mentioned that Chris Carpenter was getting set to pitch for the St. Louis Cardinals. He will do so in the first game of the series against the Chicago Cubs tomorrow. May not have been clear in the story as I was relating it to you that he is not, in fact, pitching in the series against the Astros today. Jaime Garcia is on the mound for the Cardinals against the Astros, and that game's just underway now. You're listening to The Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580.
WILL programs are made possible by Women's Health Practice and Dr. Suzanne Troopin, offering obstetrics, gynecology, and fertility services on Neal Street in Champaign. Women's Health Practice is a Health Alliance medical plan provider and is accepting new patients. More information is available at womenshealthpractice.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Trophy Time in Champaign. Trophy Time features a variety of items to remember special days with personalized huggies, keychains, cameras, and more. A complete online catalog can be found at trophytime.com. They're more than just trophies.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 20th of September, 2012. It was on this date, 1848, the American Association for the Advancement of Science was established in Philadelphia to procure for the labors of scientific men increased facilities and a wider usefulness. The term scientist had been coined in English just 15 years before, 1833, and all over the world, scientists were making great new discoveries. Europe was the center for the great theorists of science. In the year 1848, for example, Léon Foucault set up his first pendulum to demonstrate the Earth's rotation. Darwin was at work on his theory of evolution. Michael Faraday was at the height of his work on electromagnetism. America was cut off from Europe. It was hard to compete with scientists over there. And instead, the interest in this country was towards invention and science that would support industry. Just 4 years before the first telegraph line was installed, Baltimore to Washington, D.C., train tracks were being built all over the country. And in the year 1848, four times as many train tracks were laid as in 1847. In 1845, Elias Howe had invented the mechanical sewing machine. Cyrus McCormick had sold the patent for his McCormick Reaper in the 1830s. And not so many years before, Lewis and Clark had made their journey from St. Louis to the Pacific, a scientific expedition, observing the weather, the topography, the geography, describing 182 plant species, 120 animals in their travels. They sent back specimens, including a prairie dog that lived in the White House. By the 1840s, the botanists Asa Gray and George Engelman were cataloging the plants of the American West, and anthropology was starting to emerge as its own field, separate from natural history. There were only 87